Banner Media Studios presents Almost Home, a radio play in three parts.
Trakanos brei, bajlemek blikinji usek shal sitlilium ob oyeka blitlim blikloff.
It has been quite some time since I started roving around in space. Exactly 100 days, according to the ship's calendar. As far as I can tell, back at home today is supposed to be the last day of the year 202. A palindromic year that had so much promise at first. But, well, it seems the stars had something different in mind. Heavenly bodies tend to be much more infuriatingly reliable when compared to human designs. But of course, there isn't much to be done about it now. I'm safe from that stellar calamity, for better or worse, and I just finished another series of checks on my ship before I lift off in search of the next planet to land on and wander about on. When I first started all this lone roving, I was often in a hurry to move on to the next thing, moving through my pre-liftoff checks as quickly as I could. It seems so silly now that I think about it. Old habits, I guess. Back when things were normal, I was on a strict schedule. Now, there's no one for me to be accountable to except myself. I can actually take my sweet time double-checking everything, or doing anything, really. There's a kind of serenity to that, I think. It makes me wonder why speeding through procedures and processes was so important in the first place. Also, why has it taken me so long to start using the ship's audio log function? I knew it was there the whole time, but I never thought of a particularly good reason to use it. I guess realizing it was the last day of the year, as well as my 100th day of roving, put some perspective into my current condition, and I felt like talking about it a little. Besides, it's not like I have any other voice to interact with.
None other. White noise am I reduced to.
What? You can hear me all the way out here?
Each recording you make I keep safe. For you to take this long to make a fresh recording in this voyage, I didn't expect.
It's more of a rove than a voyage.
Of course. Noted has been changed in language.
Thanks. Yeah, TT is right. My ship's AI is the only other recognizable voice around here. The meaning of the name may be obvious to those from back home, but I'll explain anyway. TT is short for Tlora Tlajan, because the voice is so very similar to that of a real person I once knew. When I want it to be, anyway. Sometimes I call it Tlora, if I'm feeling especially casual.
Currently idle, the craft is. Shall the ship I shut down until finished with recording, you are?
No need, Tlora. I'm just finishing up. I'll be inside to begin our takeoff very soon.
Noted, Julie.
Great. Anyway, that's my cue to get going to avoid using more fuel. I think I'll record some more after I take off into space. I find I'm quite enjoying this recording thing already, and I wonder what sorts of things will come to mind and spill out of my mouth as I stare into the stirring sea of space. Depending on any discernible differences, this may determine where and when I do these sorts of reminiscing recordings in the future. We shall see. I am a one-person crew, the proud owner of a free-floating flat with a view of the infinite possibilities nature can muster. It is inspiring and horrifying at the same time. My mind goes back to those old mythos novels, filled with the slow burn of cosmic horrors that drove fictional characters to madness, ruin, and even fanatical ecstasy. What terrifies and excites me right now is the fact that science may be stranger than fiction. I am several generations away from the pioneers, but even in my own home system, we were neighbors to planetary marvels not yet thoroughly studied. Crossing orbits led to planets that pushed and pulled each other, as if a kid were playing with magnetic rings and marbles. Occasionally, gravity would play a little too rough and planets would outright collide. This is how Tlavel Yuda came to be, as well as Tlavel Yepe. I may have resigned myself to my fate at this point, but the undiscovered answers of Connectim still nag at the back of my mind. Then again, there were plenty of other mysteries we wanted to solve in the decades to come. The vertical ring and orbit of Pekatin Oyuda, Glama its disproportionately large size, and the possible habitability of Tlenor or Tlenat. Well, on the bright side, there are other questions I can find answers for that no one ever considered asking. I'll see what I can do to continue to make the most of my situation, for science, and for my own sanity.
Perhaps necessary another mental examination is...
I think I'm fine for now. I'm not really that worried.
What a mentally ill rover would be saying. That is, before requiring an examination.
Maybe another time. Besides, doing these recordings already seems to be its own kind of useful therapy.
Very well. Continue.
Thanks. It's not that I mind mental or physical examinations. I appreciate TT looking out for me and reminding me to take care of myself. Cosmos knows it's easy to get lost in your own head in this kind of situation. I just think that TT is being a bit, overly cautious right now. Maybe I should adjust its concern meter a little bit, just so it doesn't react every time I mutter about my health or sanity.
Perhaps necessary another mental examination.
All right, I think it's time for a mental re-examination of your own.
Necessary, it is not.
For my sake, at least, I think it is.
Perhaps necessary another...
Go to settings.
State desired setting.
Personality parameters.
Please state desired parameter.
Concern.
Current concern level is 85.
Change to 70.
Current concern level, 70.
Great. Close settings.
Changes saved.
Okay, now that's out of the way. Where was I?
Playback, I could. The two statements you made before interrupted you were.
Oh, you can do that? Even while the recording is still going on?
Underestimate my capabilities, it seems you sometimes still do.
Right. Okay, go ahead.
Right
side, there are other questions I can find answers for that no one ever considered asking. I'll see what I can do to continue to make the most of my situation. For science, and for my own sanity.
Okay, I remember now. Thanks.
Anytime.
What I was going to say earlier was that although there is potential for many, many unique discoveries to be made in my roving, the most urgent questions that need to be answered from moment to moment tend to be more about survival. This is a very small ship, as you can see. Well, actually, it occurs to me, this ship doesn't have a camera, does it?
Unfortunately, available on this ship, there is no camera.
That is unfortunate. Maybe I could try to make sketches then. Anyway, I'm looking at the navigation panel here, and I notice what will probably be our next stop. There's this planet that seems to be solid enough to land on, though its proximity to its main star is a little worrisome. Should be doable, though. Could be a rich source of fuel if I'm lucky. The last planet had slim pickings when it came to possible natural supplies. If this place comes up empty as well, I swear I might actually go crazy.
Perhaps necessary another mental examination.
Go to settings. I didn't think I had a whole lot to say these past few days. After ending the last recording, I adjusted a few settings on TT to make their necessary company a bit more bearable for the time being. I meant to record some more afterwards, but there were a few things with the ship that needed adjustment as well. Mostly navigational quirks. Though very good in general, there are a few critical things the ship misses sometimes, such as an unexpected spatial shift in a nearby asteroid field. That kind of thing.
I try my best.
Of course, Tloda. We both know how often your calculations have saved us time, resources, and even my life, so thanks.
I humbly accept your gratitude. Always a pleasure to be as useful as I can.
Of course. I'll admit one of the personality adjustments I made to TT was to make it more responsive to praise. Sometimes I want it to be more of an equally yoked co-worker in these rovings, but lately I've been more in the mood for having something to care for and look up to me as a leader and provider. So more like a child or a pet, I guess? I don't know. I just make do with what I have, I suppose. I also adjusted TT's syntax to be more aligned with contemporary speech. Didn't even realize that was a parameter that existed. It was nice to hear that older style of grammar for a while, but I realized I preferred something more familiar. For now, at least. I was going to say that it's been pretty normal here these past few days since my last recording, but I guess I haven't explained what normal means yet, have I?
You haven't.
Thank you, but I can take it from here. Just focus on our course.
Certainly.
Maybe I'll get tired of that level of responsiveness after a while, but for now... I enjoy the interactions. Anyway, let me explain my typical day in my rovings. First of all, when I say day, or year, or even hour, I'm basing time off of my ship's clock, which stays current with the time and date it would be at the station back home. I mean, the station isn't there anymore. But retaining that familiar standard of timekeeping really helps keep things in order, and even in perspective sometimes. Anyway, my ship has about 8 chambers, and I use almost all of them each day. I know no one can see what I'm talking about, but it feels more natural for me to float around and give a sort of tour as I go along, so bear with me. I'm now in the corner of the ship where I sleep. It's a small, closet-sized room where I'm able to wrap myself in comfortable blankets and sleep vertically. There is a horizontal cot I can pop out of a nearby wall in case I need to sleep while the ship has landed on a planet. I often find that having some soothing, familiar music playing softly as I sleep helps me get a good rest. TT helps with the music when I ask for it. Across the hall is the washroom. My morning routine is standard. I wake up, do a few stretches, exercise, wash up, and then continue with my day. I'm going over to the exercise room now. While I already have another chamber dedicated to mental work, exercise is itself a mental release for me, as well as a physical one. I have a couple of modest machines that can give me the weight training and cardio workout I need, but TT is also able to provide a simulated reality around me as I use them. The sights and sounds of the natural phenomena of home is a much appreciated escape for me. I asked TT not to include depictions of people in these simulations, however. I found that to be a bit too much. It's not a perfect representation of mountains, trees, pavement, and such, but it's close enough to be refreshing and not so real enough to be distracting. So, exercise, followed by a good washing up, followed by a light breakfast in here, the dining area. Despite the small space, it is very well stocked with all the provisions I'll need for at least another year of roving. I try to be conservative in my consumption, however. A very light breakfast, a more substantial lunch, and then two snack times between lunch and sleep. I also make a point to search for suitable nourishment on the various planets I land on, to make my supplies stretch even further. Thankfully, TT is able to analyze the edibility of anything I find, and I have found some degree of success with this. Not as much as I would like, but about as much as I expected so far. After my light breakfast, I consider myself ready for the day, whatever that might entail. Apart from those two light snack times, there isn't much more I can say about my standard routine. It's usually one or more of several different things, though. Piloting, research, and exploring, each occasionally interrupted by necessary ship repairs. Maybe at this point I can add making audio recordings to that list of non-routine activities.
Rover, would you care for another round of Jukeleap?
Maybe after I finish my tour of the ship.
Maybe that can wait. I would like to play. It has been 8 days of roving since our last game.
Wait, really?
Really, really, Rover.
Huh. Okay. Yeah, I can take a break from all this explanation. I'd like to keep the recording on, though, if you don't mind. I haven't talked about Yudatekian Klondib in it yet, and I'd like the first recording of the game in here to be one where I win.
I don't mind. But your hope for victory is not consistent with the score of 11 Rover wins versus 57.
I can have those numbers wiped from your memory, you know.
Just stating the facts.
The facts you can remember, anyway.
Your skill will be apparent during the game itself. Archived in the ship's recordings, no less.
I could delete those, too.
But you won't. Will you?
You're right. I wouldn't do that. Go ahead and finish the setup. I'm coming.
How should we determine the first player?
You can go ahead, Laura.
Gladly. QVLU I-10.
Moving that one already. Odd.
Just getting prepared for a few of your predicted gambits.
We'll see about that. Tlakul Yuda, F8.
Clint, I-7.
Tlanor, B-5.
Cloge, H-8. Is there a reason you still have the recording device active?
To record my next win, of course. Like I said.
Ill-advised confidence aside, are you not aware that I keep each game of Jukeleap perfectly recorded in my memory?
Oh, right. Well, in that case, I'll turn this off now and focus on my new strategy. A few days have passed since the last recording. First of all, and arguably most important, I managed to get my 12th win against TT. Not sure if I'd want to ever play again after such a decisive victory. Maybe I'll alter TT's memory.
Ah, come away out of that. Whatever happened to accurate record keeping, huh?
I jest, of course. Maybe I'll aim for a square perfect score of 144 wins now.
Yeah, good luck with that.
I've got nothing but time. But anyway, I just wanted to make another recording to also briefly mention that I'm closing in on the next planet. Should arrive in a couple of days. Even being at this for a while, it's always quite exciting to arrive on a new sphere, anticipating what mysteries and marvels will be found there, especially if it's not even a sphere at all. This next planet is a general sphere, by the way, just so that's clear. A solid planet with a lot of high temperatures detected within and without, according to TT's initial scans. I wonder if I'll ever get tired of this feeling of anticipation before landing. Even after all this roving so far, I get that slight fuzzy feeling in my stomach as I wonder at the possibility a new planet could hold, and what things I might find by scratching its surface. I will certainly make a new recording after I land to share what I find.
Now that was something you don't see every planetary rotation. I've spent much of my time assuming I was the first of my kind to land a ship on these planets. I was proven wrong when I ran into the wreck of a rather ruined spacecraft. At the time, I was on my final search for supplies before leaving this rather hostile planet. Constant thunderstorms pouring near boiling raindrops take some getting used to, but I can manage that with some effort. What I can't manage, aside from the unpredictable bursts of magma and the reptilian creatures that cause them, is that unreachable pile of legs. At least, that's what I'm calling what looks to be some kind of enormous machine shaped like a pie slice attached to an immense mechanical leg structure that end in 2 feet with large tread tracks. That's not the ruined spacecraft I mentioned earlier, by the way. I'm getting to that. It's almost like I'm actually talking to someone. Another actual person, I mean. Anyway, I have no idea what that pie thing is. If I were able to stay here longer, and if I weren't so concerned about fuel right now, maybe I could make my way up there and see what's happening. But as it is, I barely have enough fuel to escape this place with what I was able to salvage from this old ruined spacecraft I found. It is rare to see signs of intelligent life in my travels, and even more notable when they feature writing I can actually understand. After poking around in the remains of this ship, I've determined that it belonged to the pioneers, my very first generation of space travelers. They're the ones that found Tekra, which would become our new home after many years of searching for a habitable planet. After finally claiming that new home as their own, the next generation of the Sojourners, were driven by intense curiosity to explore the infinite expanse some more, just to see if there wasn't somehow some more ideal place to permanently settle. They set up many temporary settlements here and there around Tekra, and other nearby systems, though none of them lasted very long. We call the next generation the Navigators because their primary purpose for space travel was to chart as much of unfamiliar space as they could, and further solidify the region as their own. They often set up bases on other planets to act as beacons or markers for fellow navigators. That leads to my generation, the Rovers. Though we still have many questions, we weren't driven by any particular, singular, unifying purpose in our space travels. I'm saying all of this because a certain realization has been sinking in recently. The sinking feeling that it is extremely likely no one from my culture will ever hear these recordings. There's not much I can do about translating my native tongue into unknown alien speech, but I can at least do my best to give a bit more context into my own experiences and history. Perhaps someone out there will find my logs and reflections instructive or helpful in some way. Besides, being able to have backup files of all my significant memories and musings brings a great deal of peace to my mind. The utility of my audio logs and other documentation became especially apparent to me when I found something on this old pioneer craft. I'll share a recording of the playback.
Captain, my captain. I hope your trek is everything you hoped it would be. I wish I could be there with you like we planned, but this mini-you has me grounded here for another while yet.
Your other wish.
Corrupt is this audio log. Skipping to next viable file.
Captain, I hope everything is okay. We waited at the rendezvous spot as long as we could, but when your mother called us about her illness, we had to come back. Maybe next time, though. I know this isn't easy, but what you're doing is amazing, and everyone here is still rooting for you. The banners are all still up, and the kids still have pictures hung outside their homes, all cheering you and everyone else on. I love you, and look forward to seeing you.
Corrupt is this audio log. Skipping to next viable
Skip
file.
To the last viable file.
Tell the captain what age you are today.
Poor captain.
Now say, I love you, mummy, and can't wait to see you soon.
I love you, captain.
Well, anyway, we'll be flying out on the next wave to Tekra. I hope you can be there this time. It would be nice to see you again.
I know it's been over 3 years.
Unreadable is the audio log beyond this point. Shall these files for future listening I store? Awaiting response.
Oh, no. No. It's alright. Got it. I've heard enough. I know that old audio log was made in a very different time and place, very far removed from anywhere I've been at any time, but even so, that was much closer to home than I'd like to admit.
I feel better now. Yesterday's events were hard for me for multiple reasons, as evidenced by what you heard in the last recording. All part of roving, I suppose. You run into all kinds of things, of course, but that Pioneer-era crash site was the last thing I expected. I didn't realize until then how much I still miss the way things were, how much I still miss the home that is just no longer there. Like I said, today feels better than yesterday did. I'm off that boiling planet, I continue my routine, and the rove goes on. There is a part of me that wished I didn't feel so upset over what has been lost, but I'm also glad that part is still there. A strange sensation. I wonder if anyone who may listen to these recordings can understand these feelings. But yeah, again, the rove goes on. The next planet is a bit farther away than I'd like, but I have just a little more fuel than I need to get there. Temperatures are a bit more temperate compared to the last planet, according to TT's initial scans, so I'm hopeful. I guess I could finish the grand tour of my little ship while we travel, huh? Not now, though. TT detected some residual heat exhaustion in the engine room, and I need to sort that out. Shouldn't be too much of a problem. Sounds like a straightforward fix, if a bit of a time-consuming one. I'll go take care of that now and finish the tour some other day when I get the chance. Then after that, well, I'll see what there is to find on that next planet. Actually, before I arrive at the new planet, I've still got a couple other things I want to do as well. Most importantly, I need to update my regular transmitted message for any other rovers out there who might hear it. Doubtful, but you never know. I think there's a slim chance my home isn't completely lost after all, if I can just find any others out there so we can resume some semblance of normalcy together. Then I could return to the closest thing I had to a home before. That would be nice. But of course, between now and then, there's a lot to explore and study to keep me occupied. When I really take the time to think about my situation, like I am right now, I find I feel generally content with my direction. Not with where I am currently, but with where I'm going. Though it seems I'm drifting in space, me and my ship are headed in a desirable trajectory, with a satisfactory velocity. Today, that is enough for me.
Left with the words unsaid, left to my deepest thoughts. Circling round again, this is the hardest part. Float through a starry sky when you are here with me, getting me through the night. Relive a memory. I've left the words unsaid.
Thank you for listening to Episode 1 of Banner Media Studios' Almost Home. Written and directed by Baron Dipitus, with producers Ethan Kelly and James Neeson, as well as executive producer Dr. Binary. Art by Natalie Brianne, and composed by The Rise Undaunted. This episode starred Natalie Brianne as Rover, Ethan Kelly as TT, Baron Dipitus as the Pioneer, Teague O'Donovan as the Pioneer Ship AI, and Hannah Bryce as the Pioneer Child. Audio editing and mastering was done by Ethan Kelly. Featuring original song, Far From Home, with lyrics written and performed by Keelan, with piano arrangement by Ethan Kelly. Credits read by James Neeson.